Good evening and welcome to Radio Edu Talk. My name is David Noble in Dalgety Bay, and delighted to welcome this evening a couple of colleagues from Ross High in East Lothian. So if you wouldn't mind, Daryl, just by introducing yourself and your colleague and just letting us know a little bit about what we're going to be talking about in today's show.
Hello, I'm Daryl Stanfield, physics teacher from Ross High School in Trent. I've got with me my colleague Neil Craig-Collins, deputy teacher at Ross High School. We're going to be talking about, or looking forward to talking to you about learning rounds this evening.
That's fantastic. And if you're listening to the podcast and you've got any questions for our guests in today's show, then you can get in touch in two ways. You can email edutalker@hotmail.co.uk or pop something up on Twitter with the hashtag edutalk, and we'll be sure to forward on your comments and questions. So just to start off with, Daryl, can you give us an idea about Ross High, you know, the size, the kind of catchment area, and then maybe go into why, well, what learning rounds are, and then why you thought it'd be a good idea to introduce it to the school?
I think probably it's a good time for me to come in. Neil Craig-Collins, deputy head teacher at Ross High. We've got 978 pupils at Ross High, a broad spectrum of achievement and attainment, and quite exciting times with nine primary schools all coming together into a first year of 180 pupils. In terms of learning rounds, I arrived here 2 years ago, having conducted learning rounds at Forster High School for 3 or 4 years with Margaret Alcorn, and Daryl and I then collaborated together in a way to try and find new ways of doing self-evaluation and improvement within the school better. What we really wanted to find out was what teachers wanted to improve and what they thought the priorities for improvement and CPD were, and that's what Learning Rounds really gave us.
And listeners to Edu Talk will be familiar with the work of Margaret Alcorn, and she's been a guest on the show before. Now, there's kind of different interpretations of learning rounds. A lot of people kind of characterise it as kind of almost kind of bottom up CPD. But can you take us through then about, I suppose maybe first of all, how it worked in Forrester High, and whether there are any differences in the approach at Ross High now?
Absolutely. I mean, the way that we did kind of pure learning rounds, and the way that we wanted it to be absolutely non-hierarchical, non-judgmental. I know that different schools conduct that in different ways, but it was important for us to give staff a voice and not to bring hierarchy into it. And that we maintained that in both systems, both at Forrester when I was a PT of English and at Ross High where I've stepped back out of it as a member of senior management, and Daryl and I have worked together, and he's really done most of the leading and the training and the development with my support, because I felt it was important that the staff presented to us what they thought, without influence from the senior management team at that point, were the key priorities based on their experience during the learning rounds themselves.
Okay.
Will I jump in with folks talking about Ross High now, David?
Absolutely, Daryl, that would be great.
Okay, so after Neil approached me, I read documentation, gave Margaret Alcorn a little call up, and we met up where she gave me a great overview of learning rounds and the process. That led me to invite her in to discuss learning rounds at an assembly where we promoted the benefits of learning rounds and looked for interest into taking part in the rounds. We then delivered some training together to the volunteers. This was all voluntary basis. We delivered training and then looked at what was important for the staff to develop as a team together. So we chose that we'd like to look at positive learning relationships as a staff.
Yeah, I think to step in there, Daryl's made it sound like learning rounds is an easy thing to sell immediately to staff. I remember being tasked with it initially as a principal teacher of English, and then when the head teacher told me that four other people were going to be going in to observe in the classroom, you know, I took a deep breath. And initially, when you look at learning rounds, a lot of people take a deep breath because that can be intimidating, and it can be a completely new way of doing things, which is completely out of your comfort zone. So in order to build the rounds, you have to gain trust and you have to get people collaborating with each other, and you have to get them comfortable so that they will engage. So it's not something that, you know, when you first look at it, it's not an easy sell. It can be quite a difficult sell, but if you can get people on board going with you and trusting you, and more importantly, trusting each other, it can be really quite a successful initiative to run.
I suppose at this point, maybe for the benefit of some listeners who haven't read the literature on Learning Rounds or haven't participated in one before, Daryl, maybe starting with yourself, can you do the kind of hard sell for a couple of minutes then about what it actually is and what the experience is for the staff involved? You know, what actually happens? How are their routines disrupted or otherwise?
Absolutely, that would be great. So initially, after the in-service and assembly, we gained 16 volunteers. These 16 volunteers were all trained up in the protocols of Learning Rounds, so they were informed that we wouldn't use any judgmental language. We would be able to observe 6 different lessons in one day, which itself was a great sell for the staff, and it's brilliant opportunity. It gave the staff going around in the teams of 4, we'd be seeing 3 half lessons each, the opportunity to look at different things so they could individually take different aspects of teaching and learning into their classroom, and it also enabled us to gather evidence with tech sheets that we made up looking at our theme of positive learning relationships. So we had 16 staff, 8 staff observing on the first day, where they seen 6 lessons. Then the role switched on the second day, where the observers became the observees. After that, we collated all the information gathered, so we had a great source of data, and we looked at what we'd like to progress further in the school. The main thing that we took on from this in the whole school level is that we would like to progress further in differentiation. It's fantastic for me to see the SMT team take this on board. It felt like we're giving the staff a voice, where they listened to us and said, OK, you've identified differentiation as something that you'd like to take forward. And we've now had 3 CPD sessions on that, where it's been where we've had active learning, we've been developing things and taking things away from our in-service days.
So, I mean, you're saying that it's then informed CPD priorities, moving forward, but some people would also say that the actual act of taking part in a learning round, i.e. being an observer, is or can be CPD in itself.
Absolutely. The comments we've had back from the learning rounds were all positive. Had some people were saying they loved experience other classrooms in different environments and different subjects, and the opportunity to discuss learning and teaching individually. I failed to mention after our observations, we spent the afternoon discussing the learning and teaching at the scene in a total non-judgmental way, so nobody could be identified. We looked at our facts, what we've seen, we discussed it, and we were able to take things forward. So individually, each different person had great opportunities to learn from each other in 6 individual lessons.
And I suppose this is the thing, isn't it, that the process of the learning round in terms of the quantitative data that you then bring back and pull, you're saying it's non-judgmental, no names, etc. So the people who are taking part have to be very well briefed, they have to be very focused, and yet what you're alluding to is as important as that is, there's also unintended, maybe positive consequences also.
You're absolutely right there. Before we took part in our learning rounds, we all sat down with Margaret Alcorn and she led the discussions, and for us to identify what area we would like to look at. Then we were able to have the conversations to break down what positive learning relationships look like. So we were able to talk about learning and teaching together. We mentioned things that we thought were important for this to take place, such as reward systems, pupil praise, and non-verbal communication, such as gesture, body language, eye contact, looking at how pupils were given feedback, if it was written or verbal, and how the pupils responded. So we all sat down together and made a list of what we thought best practice positive learning relationships would look like. So the staff were all well-versed before we went in, and we knew exactly the data that we were looking to gather.
And talking with a focus on positive learning relationships, that sounds incredibly broad. Is that an approach you think? My guess would be that as you repeat the process, I suppose you do more learning rounds in the terms in years to come, that you might become a little bit more narrower in your focus.
Well, we have got plans to take it on, and we feel like we've identified the need of progression differentiation from the initial learning round. So it means we can now focus on our areas of development or areas we'd like to progress from the initial round. So definitely we're going to narrow it down in the future. From this, we've also made contact, or although there's great work going on in the schools where we've had cooperative learning happen, we've been able to link it to cooperative learning that Chris Ward's been running with us. So we're going to focus our next learning rounds into further progressing that.
Yeah, sounds great. And what's, I know that you're gathering the data and such like, and you're very focused in that respect, but what have you kind of gone back and spoken to the staff who have been observed? I would imagine it would be a large portion of the teaching staff have been observed. Has there been any part of your kind of research or inquiry that's looked into how they experienced it and whether it was experienced the way it should have been, or whether there were any kind of things that you might have to tighten up on next time in terms of this anonymous approach and the fact that that nobody should feel under any kind of threat?
Staff have all fed back. We've had lots of positive feedback from the staff, so it was quality assured. After some of the responses that they had, they felt positive aspects of this experience for developing relationships with teachers and pupils in classes. And that they were able to highlight positive relationships between staff and pupils, that they were able to take time to reflect on their own teaching. And like you mentioned before, that it was an opportunity to observe other professionals in different areas. And so the number of positives that we had from this was incredible. There was every single member of the Learning Rounds team said that they'd like to take part in further Learning Rounds. And they're really, really enthused. And to deliver our statistics to the whole school, they stood up with me, talked about the experience, because I was the person moderating the discussions. I wasn't involved in any of the learning round observations. I was just there to analyse the data and to moderate discussions. So they were the people who were best placed to talk about what it was all about, what they experienced, what the positives and what the areas of improvement they thought we could make. So the main thing that they thought they would like, as you've gathered, is that positive learning relationships is a broad area, and that we could have improved by tightening up and maybe reducing that slightly further, which is what we're doing just now.
You're saying about your role there, Daryl, as moderator of the discussions, and some schools like myself, we actually have, I suppose, external experts, people who are highly experienced in running learning rounds who might take on that role. So did you have to have extra training, or do you have a research background, or what is it about your professionalism that makes you kind of ideal for that role?
I'm interested in observations and how they're conducted and how we can make sure they're meaningful. And Neil in our school is very, very focused in prioritising and seeing how we can improve schools. We had a discussion about this, and he mentioned that he'd done it at Forrester before. It's something that we could maybe take forward together. So I took away the documentation from Graham Thompson, Learning Rounds Toolkit, which was fantastic background, read over that, had some questions that went back to Neil. So we had a very open dialogue, and he was very supportive, and then put me in contact with Margaret Alcorn, who again, she was exceptional at coming back to me with answers to questions. She spent time sitting down with me at meetings, so I had a lot of support to learn about the process.
Maybe just bringing Neil back in just now, what would you say then are the kind of roles of the various senior managers within this whole process, and maybe going beyond that without wanting to put you on the spot too much, but is there a role for partner organisations or partners within the wider community, or indeed young people within future processes?
Well,
I mean, obviously there's discussion at the moment about involving pupils in learning rounds and involving, you know, counsellors and parents and things. I've heard all sorts of stuff. I think that really comes down to the school context. Again, what I said at the start was it's all about trust and it's about what your staff are comfortable with, and we wouldn't want to ever put our staff in a position where they didn't feel supported. But at the same time, we would want to challenge ourselves and get, you know, critical friends and partners are a good thing. So these kind of things we'll look at, but we're certainly not there yet. I think that what Daryl probably didn't say at the start was, you know, when I spoke to Daryl and we were working together on this, Daryl was in a ideal situation to lead this forward in the school because he was in a position of trust where people knew that Daryl would conduct things in a way that was fair and balanced, and he had the respect of the teachers that he was leading. And in the first round, and I know that we're kind of snowballing and taking more and more people on, he confirmed that, the news went out there that it had been a very positive experience, and hence why more people are now buying in and wanted to take things forward. I've also had discussions with Alan McLean about doing a thing called Learning Rounds Plus, and I'm currently discussing this with Margaret Alcorn to take some of the wings of autonomy and motivation factors maybe into consideration alongside Learning Rounds. I'm probably more comfortable with that at the moment than I am in terms of involving pupils in the rounds at this point in time. Although pupil voice is really, really important, as you know, and a growing theme within Scottish education, and we're not there yet. But it's not to say that we couldn't go there in the future if the staff were comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating. And just finally, gentlemen, we often talk on the show about professional standards, the new suite of standards and professional update. And I'm just wondering how the school kind of views folks' participation in learning rounds. Would this be something that would count as taking part in a practitioner inquiry, or is it classed as research? You know, where does this sit? Because in the face of it, it sounds as if it would tick a few boxes, for want of a better phrase, with regards to the standards and professional update.
No, I mean, absolutely, it ticks boxes and all sorts. I mean, it ticks boxes in terms of your QIs and self-evaluation. On a practical level, you know, whether it ticks boxes or not, it actually leads to real improvement, which is what we've witnessed. And, of course, staff engaging in shared practice and open doors and looking at each other and discussing learning and teaching, that's what schools are about. We'd have absolutely no objection to staff including this within their professional update. In fact, I would encourage them to do so.
And I suppose just a follow up to that, Neil, when you're saying about the QIs, etc., what kind of sense of, again, this might be a question you might, hopefully you're comfortable enough to answer, but what's your sense of what kind of feedback have you received from, for example, the inspectorate? It sounds like the process you've got is particularly rigorous, and I suppose there might be issues elsewhere with ensuring that, but is this something that you find others are agreeing with you that are leading to concrete improvements? And I would assume that it's a very different beast, but you know, your kind of formal lesson observations and such like would also run alongside, though I suppose very distinct from what goes on in a learning round.
Yeah, well, I think you need to make that distinction. You know, a learning round is about improvement, and it's about everyone being involved in that. It doesn't replace observation. There's still a place for observation within schools, but it can run alongside and complement that. And we've got a new system of internal observation within the school that's just been launched as well, where staff are observing each other twice within the year. And you know, that's all voluntary and optional. So there's less top-down observation, but that still does happen. It has to happen because it's part of ensuring standards, but greater collegiality. And I think learning rounds is something more about actually getting a wider picture and triangulating it and actually working out where the priority should be, so that when we present on the subject, so we get the support in, people know why it is that we're doing it. In terms of inspection, I faced inspection at Forrester when we were doing learning rounds, and the quality of the feedback you get out of it is, I mean, you really can't argue with it. It's something that if you were just looking at inspection, which I'm sure no school's just looking at that, It ticks every box there. But also, we're regularly quality assured by the local authority. And it gives you confidence to be able to produce the kind of level of information that we can produce based on real practice. And again, I don't think you can question that. It's sound, practical, realistic information based on practice.
Mm-hmm. Great stuff. And Daryl, I've mentioned that folk can get in touch through email or Twitter, but meantime, where would you kind of direct people to if they wanted to find out more information? I mean, you mentioned Graham Thompson, Margaret Alcorn, toolkits, etc. I know there's some literature behind it, but as a starting point, where would you direct people?
I think the starting point I would look at would be actually the toolkit, Graham Thompson's toolkit, and if you type it into Google, Graham Thompson's toolkit, Learning Rounds. Also, if you type in Margaret Alcorn into Google, I'm sure there'll be information that comes up on CellMaths and different links there. We've been more than happy for people to contact us as well if they're looking for more information at Ross High School. I can leave contact details with you. I'm sure Neil would be happy to take questions or have feedback on that as well.
Okay. Gentlemen, thanks very much for joining us on EduTalk this evening, and best wishes for the future.